compared to the glorified body that shall come out of it. And he says, and but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And he says that God has given different kinds of flesh, a flesh of man and a flesh of beast, a flesh of birds. And he has created the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth, the planets, and all of these things. And he's not saying that our bodies is going to be like any of these things. He's just showing that God has the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to bring out of these natural bodies a glorified body that's beyond our perception or anything we could imagine. It's going to be a body. Well, let's go on and read a little bit more. It says, there is one glory of the Son. Also, the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And so this body is of the earth, earthly, and it's going to go back to the earth. And it's sustained, this body is sustained by corrupt things of the earth. In other words, we eat meat which corrupts, and you lay it aside on its own, it'll just rot and become corrupted just like this body will. But that's what sustains the things of this body. But this is just the natural body and the first man of the earth. But we have an example that he goes on and tells us about. Said it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be a spirit. It means it's going to be a body that's not supported by corrupt things like meat and things that decay and rot that's of the earth. This celestial body will not need that sort of a thing. It's going to be a body of flesh and bones, and we don't have any, it doesn't say in it that it would have blood, but it's going to have flesh and bones. It'll have a skeleton and flesh upon it, but the flesh will not be supported by blood flowing through it like it does now. And it will not need to eat to bring nourishment to the body, that the blood might distribute the nourishment from the food throughout the body, that we might continue to live. Because this body will be an immortal body. It will be a body that cannot die. This body was created with the ability to die. And so it was a natural body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so this is talking about our resurrected body. It's true that a person that is born again is a new creation in Christ. And he has a natural nature, and he has a divine nature, which is the new creation, a new creature that is in Christ. But he's not talking about that now. He's talking about in the resurrection, when this natural body shall be translated. and which he has compared to a grain of corn. And out of a grain of corn, you see a corn stalk, and you see leaves and ear corn. It comes up in ears and develops. And so you have a, it comes to full fruition. And a stalk of wheat, the same thing. And so this body is likened unto a grain of corn, and it will be put in the ground and die, just like a grain of corn. The Lord Jesus himself, you know, when he was thinking of his own death, he said, except a corn of wheat fall in the grain and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth manifold. And we know that out of one grain of corn or one grain of wheat, it produces a stalk that produces many, several ears of corn and several, I don't know what the proper name of it, that holds the grains of wheat that are produced on a stalk of wheat, many, many fold. And so when Christ died, his death assured us of our spiritual life and spiritual bodies. Just as he died and rose again and came forth from the grave with his spiritual body, we also will have, I'd rather say, a glorified body, because it so many people think of spirit. When you say spiritual body, they just think of a spirit. But it's a spiritual body in that it will not be supported by natural foods and things like that. It's going to be a body of flesh and bone, and but it's not going to be a body that's supported by the things out of the earth, like this body that was formed from the earth is supported by things of the earth. But this glorified body will be like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he is able, heat and cold and that sort of things just doesn't seem to affect that body. And many think that we will be able to move at the speed of thought, and we'll not be have to be transported from one place to another by locomotion like we are now, but we'll not be subject to space and time and material like we are now. The Lord, that's the laws of nature, of course, control the things of this world, but God that creates this world, when he creates this world to come, it will be so much grander than this world. It'll be like a stalk compared to the grain that sowed it and so forth, or like a God's diversity and his power. When we think of the celestial bodies, we can't even count them all. Man, with all of his devices, with satellites and telescopes and everything else, they've never found an end to the universe yet. And I don't think they ever will, because God is infinite. He's eternal. And man cannot search him out. And I don't think they're going to ever be able to get to the place where they think they can limit or put a limit on his power and his wisdom and his knowledge. So I don't think they're going to ever find an end to creation or the wisdom and the power of God, because it just excels anything that we can think of. And so this body is sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In that body, there'll be no death, and there'll be no sickness, there'll be no disease, there'll be no deformity. There will be nothing compared to this body and this life, because then we shall be known as we are known. Said, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Indeed, before in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so the scripture says that the Lord, when he appears, that will be a great sound of a trumpet, a great noise, and it will be the last trumpet. You know, for the different ceremonies and things in the temple, trumpets were blown to signify to the people that certain things were going to take place, and sacrifices and on certain days, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every day they had a sacrifice, and then they had special sacrifices on special days, and the trumpets were sounded to signify these things, as well as there was trumpets that would prepare people, soldiers, to go to battle. They had a certain trumpet that sounded, made a certain sound. He said, if a trumpet make an uncertain sound, a man doesn't know what to do. And so the number of blasts on a trumpet signified certain things prepared for. And so it likens at the end of this age and the beginning of the other will be signified by the sound of a trumpet, the last trumpet. And at that moment, that's when the dead shall be raised, the graves and the sea and all that are dead shall be raised from the dead, and those that are alive and remain will not be left out. They will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They will be transformed from this natural body to this wonderful glorified body that we live in hope of and waiting for. In that world to come, that glorified body will be a marvel that we can't even conceive of or begin to understand. First place, it'll be eternal. It'll be immortal. And it'll not be subject to, there'll be no sleep. There'll be no night. We don't need to rest. We'll not need to sleep. And there'll be no weariness, no tiredness, no sickness. It's just going to be altogether a world and a life that we can't imagine. And to bolster the faith of God's people, Paul has used all of these examples of the glory of God and the power of God. I mean, when you think of all the different insects, all the different plants, all the different seeds, all the different creatures in the sea and in the earth, and untold multitudes that we never knew about until they invented the telescope, I mean the microscope, and all the bacterium and the cells of the body and the things that's in the cell. One cell, just one cell, is a universe by itself. It's got so many living things in it. And it's just the wisdom of God is just so great, and we can see it. Paul says that, O man, thou art without excuse. Says his eternal in power, his eternal power and Godhead is displayed by the things that are made. And is it any wonder that the Bible says the man that said, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And nothing but a fool could look at the wisdom that's displayed in this universe of the complexity of life and everything that exists and think that it's just an accident or something that just happened by the laws of nature, when everything that supports life, when the evolutionist tries to describe how things evolve and describes the universe before there was life, and you think of just the moon and Mars and every planet that we've had any been able to take pictures of, it's barren. The temperature is such that life can't even exist on it. And for a single cell to live in the ocean and evolve gradually to become a man, you just think of how the temperatures has got to be controlled. Everything that would destroy it has got to be controlled to keep it from it. And the idea that of evolution is just, it takes more faith to believe that. That is so far removed that God has designed the universe and made it to support life, and then he created life himself, and he is, after he had created all of the creatures of the earth, he made man, and it's the very highest form of creation. Man is a crown of his creation, and he give all things into his hand. Of course, when he sinned, he lost the scepter, and the devil, Satan, took it. And Satan became the god of this world, and man became in bondage into sin and into Satan and into the sinful flesh. But now we don't see everything subjected to man, but the scriptures say, but we see Jesus. And there is a man that did not sin. There is a man that has conquered death. And there is a man that conquered Satan, the great enemy that brought about death. In Jesus, we have the victory. And he is the captain of our salvation. And he will lead us to victory. And he has already won it. Satan is already defeated. And at the set date, well, then this victory will be manifested in that these bodies, these corrupt bodies, shall put on incorruptions, and these mortal bodies shall put on immortality. Sin will be no more, and death will be no more. Of course, there'll be no more sickness. And he says, at that time, says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought about to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the victory, when we see death and we see defeat, I don't guess there's anything that displays weakness any more than a dead body. And when we see our loved ones, people that we loved, talked, laughed, moved around, had all of the vitality in the world, and then they're dead. Nothing moves. They'll never speak again in that dead body. It's a complete picture of weakness, of death, defeat, despair. But at the same time, we think of our Lord Jesus, who overcame death, who defeated death. And the way he defeated death is he kept the law. The wages of sin is death. The power of sin is the law. If you violate the law, sin immediately becomes your master. We become in bondage to it, and we're sentenced to death. That's what happened when the first man sinned. But the second man came into the world just like the first man, born of a woman, but he never sinned. He lived 33 and a half years. He had no sin and knew no sin. He did no sin. And he did it for you and for me. That's our blessed hope. That's the reason we're here today, because he came and fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle for us, and that we might have eternal life and might live in a world that we can't even begin to conceive of, with a body that will be a glorified body, will be a spiritual body. It would be a body that shall live forever and know no weakness, no sorrow, no sin, no death. May God add his blessing to his precious word and bolster our hope that because of Jesus' sake, one day we'll have the victory. We've already got it by faith, but one day it'll be manifested. We'll see it for ourselves, and that's what we're waiting for. And the church is a pillar and ground of this truth. God has deposited this wonderful truth in his church, and she is to contend for these things and to preach these things, that we might have hope, that we might live in hope, and that our faith might be lively, and that we might see Jesus by faith. Though we don't see these things now, yet we see Jesus, and we see him the victor over all of these things that brings about defeat for us and death. He's come, he's lived, he's conquered, and he rose from the dead. If Christ rise not, then our hope is in vain, but he rose from the dead. And we have the witness, many witnesses that testified of his victory. And if I'm not deceived, I've never seen him with my eyes, but I've seen him by faith. If I'm not deceived, he's my life, my hope, my love, my light, my liberty. He's all that I have. All that I look for is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the sum and substance of everything. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the head over all things to the church. And this is his church, and which is said to be his body. And he's given us this wonderful truth, and he's given us the Spirit to seal this truth to our hearts, that we might have it for our very own. Brother Keith, what shall we sing?
369.
Number 369, we publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. There's one or more here today that loves the Lord, wants to be baptized in his name and follow him, and be a member of this church. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled here together. 369. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
We shall sleep, but not forever. There will be a glorious dawn. We shall meet to part no day. All the resurrection morn.
Lord, that we're not another, if we desire to worship, praise thee, and thank thee, and pray, Lord, that thou would keep us by thy almighty power from this ungodly world, that we might continue to follow thee and live in such a manner that we might have a home in the church and serve thee and worship thee. And dear Lord, as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou would go with each and every one of us as we go on several ways. Be our light and darkness, our strength and weakness. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name.